Good morning. Today's daf in Sota is Chaf Beis. Thanking the Masuth family from West Orange, New Jersey for sponsorship of the entire Masechta. Learning that we do is Zecher Nishmas Nechemia Ben Avraham. We're starting right in the middle of Chaf Amid Beis, right where we left off yesterday at the two dots, and we're going to go back and try to explain a lot of what we saw in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, taking us all the way back. Mishnah taking us all the way back to Chaf Amud Aleph. The Mishnah gets us to the dramatic moment in which he's drinking the water and the immediate effects of the water. And then the Gemara says, what about delayed effects? The Mishnah says the delayed effects. So there is a possibility of a delayed effect. 2 years, 3 years, even, I'm sorry, 1 year, 2 year, even 3 years. You can have a delayed effect, and that could be based on Zuchuyo. So yesterday we spent the entire daf trying to analyze and trying to wrap our head around what are the zechuyos that are going to be delaying it. So is it zechus Torah? Is it zechus mitzvah? Is it facilitation of Torah? Okay, that goes all the way back to yesterday's daf. And then the Mishnah went on to describe a number of people not in the most complimentary terms. If you go back to the Mishnah, you look on Chaf Amud Aleph, so the Rabbi Elazar made a comment in response to Ben Azai. Ben Azai said, "Chayav Adam Lomos Bita Torah Shim Tisha Teda Shaschus Tolala." So Ben Azai was a proponent of it's a good idea to teach your daughter's Torah because, in other words, she'll have zechuyos to be tola. Okay, we already discussed this in some detail, and Rabbi Elazar says, "No, not a good idea." So Kol Malami Bita Torah. It's now we now know that the Amoran didn't necessarily have the word ki'ilu, but we added the word ki'ilu. Kol ha'malamed bita Torah ki'ilu lamda tiflus. In other words, teaching your daughter Torah is like teaching her tiflus. Tiflus is inappropriate behavior, and teaching her Torah is teaching her inappropriate behavior. And now, in other words, then they're not obviously the same, but it's ki'ilu. It's as if, and the way we said it over, Rashi said it, is that when you're teaching Torah, so you are learning basically a system of law. And within every system of law, so there are loopholes and so basically what you're doing is you're teaching her to be conniving and cunning and deceptive and things that could all be manipulated. Rabbi Yeshua Amer, and then a number of comments at the end of the Mishnah that were unexplained, uninterpreted, and we're going to be spending the entirety of today's daf focusing on the last lines of the Mishnah. I'm just reviewing the Mishnah in Chaf Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yeshua Amer wrote, "Isha b'kav v'tiflus, mitisha kav m'precious." So we just got done explaining that yesterday. And that is that a woman would prefer less from her husband financially and more time with her husband. And hu haya Omer, and he would say the following. And the words are chasid shota v'rasha aram v'isha prushim makus prushim hare elu mevale olam, four people who are destroying the world. Okay, so who's destroying the world? So the Mishnah says, but the Mishnah is not clear. The terms in the Mishnah are ambiguous. And for the entirety of today's daf, enjoy, please, the upcoming Gemara today. It's a lot of agadata, a lot of hashkafa. The Gemara is going to go over who exactly is responsible for the destruction of the world. So, Heichi Dami. So, we find ourselves now in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara's question is really simple. Who are we talking about over here? We'll start with the Chassid Shota. So, the Chassid Shota, foolish Chassid. So, what are examples of a foolish Chassid? So, the Gemara is going to be giving us a number of examples. Chassid Shota Kagon. The Gemara is going to give one example. Sorry. In the upcoming, the remaining destroyers of the world, there are going to be multiple examples. But here for Chassid Shota, so the Gemara gives one simple example. Kagon de katava itza benar va'amr lav orachar leistikule ba v'atzula. Man sees a woman drowning, and he has an opportunity to save her, but at the same time, he's like, look, it's not appropriate. It's inappropriate to save her. In other words, there's an issur negiyah. And I shouldn't be saving her. So out of frumkeit, he decides not to save her. That is, the Mishnah says, the Gemara's explanation of the Mishnah, that's a chassid shota. You are a foolish chassid. And you're mevale olam, you're destroying the world. Obviously, right, shmir seinayim is unbelievably important. But at the same time, however, you're talking about hafsal sanefesh, you're talking about saving somebody's life. And so, the correct choice is to save her life. Hechi dami Rasha Aram. Now we get up to the next one. Rasha Aram, someone who is smart but clever, and in other words, and meanwhile he's a Rasha. So here the Gemara is going to give multiple examples of what we're describing. I'm Rav Yochanan Zu, Amatim Dvarav L'Daim Kodim Shevo Baal Din Chavero. So example number one given by Rav Yochanan, that is that you have a case. You would like to take someone to court. You would like to litigate. And what do? So you go into the courtroom and you tell your side of the story before the other litigant walks in. And as Rashi points out over here, once you are presenting your side of the story and you are going unchecked and unchallenged, so obviously you're going to be giving a very, very different version of what exactly happened. You are providing an unchecked report of your version of the story. And even as the other litigant comes in, even as he tells the story, the judge will always be tilted towards your side, because you were able to tell a very, very unbalanced version of what you believed happened. So that is, that's no good. That's a Rasha Arum. That's example number one. Example number two, Rabbi Abba Omer, Zernosin Dino Lani Lashum Lo Masayim Zuz. Another example of Rasha Arum is the following. There is an halacha poverty line. If you're below the poverty line, so you're entitled, there are entitlements that you're entitled to, distributions that you're entitled to. On the other hand, once you're above the poverty line, so therefore you're no longer entitled to distribution. Okay. Right? And in this regard, nothing's changed. And even as we go over centuries and centuries, we're still operating with a very similar system. So back in Eretz Yisrael, so once you're below the poverty line, so you can be afforded Maaser Ani, Leket, Shicha, Peah, v'chule, v'chule. Right? All the matnos and niyam you're entitled to. Let's say you're right below the poverty line. And now the owner of the field says, I've got a problem. In other words, I know I have family members who are poor who are going to come into the field, and they're going to, and by the way, the explanation I'm giving of the Gemara right now is Rashi. Okay, I know the Gemara doesn't say all this, but this is Rashi's understanding. So I know that I have family members who are below the poverty line who are going to come and collect. On the other hand, there's that guy over there who's ready to collect. You know what I'm going to do? He's right below the poverty line, so I'm going to give him a dinar. And the dinar is going to put him right over the poverty line. Once you're over the poverty line, so that's it. You're no longer entitled. And so therefore, you're doing that so that later on, the poor people you want are going to be able to come and collect. And you are now considered a Rasha Arum, meaning what you did is technically fine, but obviously your intentions are the worst. And the Gemara then quotes the Mishnah. If you have Masayim Zuz, if you have 200 Zuz, that is the mark. That's the mark of being above the poverty line, right? When asked the question, how much is 200 Zuz in today's currency? I have no idea. But in other words, just to give us an idea, a thought of what kind of money we're talking about. In other words, if you have as assets 200 Zuz, you're above the poverty line. So in other words, if that helps. So anyway, so lo yitol lekeshek lopeo maiserani, and then hayilam masayim chasudin or afilo elef notin lo kaachas or is a yitol. The Mishnah goes on to say, but if you're below the poverty line, right, you're holding by 199, so then you are now eligible for distribution. And even if that one distribution happens to be a lot, right, elef zuz says the Mishnah, so that's fine. Meaning that's perfectly okay, because in that distribution, you were below the poverty line. Obviously, with that distribution, you're going to be well above the poverty line, but it doesn't matter. Once you have eligibility, once you're entitled to receive and to collect, so you can collect any amount, meaning that one-time collection doesn't have to be just one zuz. It could even be 1,000. Okay, anyway, but from the Mishnah, it's clear that if you're below the poverty line, you're entitled. If you're above the poverty line, you're no longer entitled. And the owner of the field, knowing that you want to come to collect, so he quickly runs over and gives you a single dinar to put you over the limit, and now you lost your entitlement. The Gemara gives a third example of Rasha Arum. Rabbi Asi Amar Rav Yochanan Zeh Amasi Eitzalim Kor Menachasim Moatim. Da Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan Yisom Shekad Moamachum Menachasim Moatim. Masha Machru Machru. So over here, just a little bit of background, and that is that if dad died, leaving a small estate, that's what's called Nechasim Moatim. And again, over here, numbers would help, but I'm gonna just say it over without numbers. So if dad died with a small estate, nechasim moatim, So the Chachamim said, what we have to do is we have to protect the girls. We do not want the girls to go collecting, knocking door to door in order to collect. So by Nechasim Mo'atim, so the Chachamim instituted that all the estate is going to go to the daughters, and the sons are now unfortunately going to have to be go collecting door to door. But this is the Chachamim's interest in protecting the girls. Okay. So how do you know whether or not this estate is a Nechasim Mo'atim estate or not? You're going to go to Beis Din. However, if before you go to Beis Din, the sons decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sell the estate. Well, they shouldn't, obviously, but if they do, the sale is a valid sale. And it's not going to be voided. And so somebody goes over to the kids and say, quickly, go sell the estate before you go to Beis Din. And because Beis Din may deem this estate to be a Nechasim Mo'atim estate, and therefore you're going to lose it. And you go over to the Yisomim and you say to them, sell it now. So what you're doing now is bad, meaning because your advice is in fact the sale is going to be a valid sale. And so and obviously what you're doing with that advice is that you're taking all that money away from the girls. So that is another example of being a Rasha Arum. Another example of being a Rasha Arum is encouraging a sale like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. What does that mean, D'Tanya? So here again, Nechas elach v'acharecha laploni v'arid rishon amachar v'achal. So Hasheni motzi miyad alakuchos divrei Rebbe. So let's say what you do is that you are going to identify a beneficiary of your estate, and not only the first beneficiary, but the second beneficiary as well. Okay, so there is now going to be a chain in which the estate is going to roll to the first beneficiary, and then when he dies, to the second beneficiary. Okay, and in halacha, you can construct such an estate. Now, as you do that, so now what happens if the first beneficiary decides that he's going to be selling off the entire estate? So he can't do that because there is a designated second beneficiary. Now, that is the opinion of Rebbe. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel Amer, Ein L'Sheni L'Masha Shai Rishon. And Rav Shimon Gamliel fundamentally disagrees. He says that the first one can do whatever he wants with the estate. What is the second beneficiary going to be receiving? Only the remainder, only the balance. That's it. So therefore, now obviously the intent of the gifter over here is that there would be a first beneficiary and a second beneficiary. That was his intention. But according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the second beneficiary, even though that was the intent, the second beneficiary is only going to be entitled to whatever remains. So now, if you go over to the first beneficiary and say, you know, I know the intention of the gifter. However, I'm telling you right now, between you and I, you could sell whatever you want and don't feel bad about it. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, all those sales are going to be a valid sale. So if you advise like that, you're a Rasha Arum. That's another example of a Rasha Arum. Okay, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Rav Sheshet Amachri Acherim Bar Chosav. The Gemara is not done. The Gemara here gives numerous examples. This is now, I lost count. Forgive me. Number 5, number 6, number 4. Okay, whatever. Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Rav Sheshet Amachri Acherim Bar Chosav. You tell other people, look, I'm a tremendous tzaddik, and what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to follow all my ways. Okay, you want to be a rebbe, and you want followers. So the likes and follows. It's not a modern phenomena. It's an old phenomena. So over here, Rashi says the problem, of course, is that you're not really a rebbe. Meaning you are, you know, in certain ways you behave like a rebbe, but you're not really a rebbe, and so you're not somebody that really should be emulated. But in other words, but because now you have followers, so people think that you're a real rebbe. Rabbi Zvi Amar Rav Huna Zehamek Alatzma Machmel LaAcherim. Another example of Rasha Arum. You're lenient for yourself, but you're machmel for others. Okay, that's another cunning Rasha. Ula Amar. As now we turn to the top of Chav Beis Amid Aleph Shekar Veshon Velo Shemesh Tamid Chachamim. And our final example of Rasha Arum is that you are you're reading Chumash, you're learning Mishnayos. However, you're not properly attending to Tamid Chachamim. And over here, a couple fundamental Rashi's today. Okay, I'm going to read this Rashi. It's really fundamental. So our final example of a Rasha Arum is somebody who is knowledgeable, knows Chumash, knows Mishnayos, but doesn't serve Talmid Chachamim. Rashi writes, "Lomot Svaras HaGemara." B'tamei HaMishna Mahim. In other words, being Mishamish Talmidei Chachamim does not just mean attending to Talmidei Chachamim and being Mishamish them, and meaning serving them, although that in of itself is a value and important. But Rashi over here understands being Mishamish Talmidei Chachamim in the context of learning. And that is that just because you know a Mishnah, or let's go even further, let's say you know all the Mishnayos, that's wonderful, but you don't understand the Mishnayos. And Rashi says, in order to be somebody who's going to be telling people what to do, so not only do you have to know Mishnayos, you have to understand Mishnayos. Well, how do you understand Mishnayos? By having a Rebbe. Rashi writes, Lo Motzvar Zagamar B'tamei HaMishnah Mahim Rashi Hu She'ein Taras Al Burya Ve'ein Lo Mod Haimenu. You don't have a good understanding of Torah. Nobody should be learning from you. Because with a proper understanding of Mishnayos, so then you're able to paskin correctly. Look, Rashi here just gives us like the ABCs of Gemara. Meaning, by the way, when the Gemara over here is talking about being Mishamish Tamei Chachamim, the Gemara is describing Gemara. But you understand, the Gemara can't say, hey, I'm talking about Gemara, because, you know, the Gemara at the time was information in terms of being a written document. So, but the Gemara is talking about the Gemara. Rashi over here cites, how often do we find throughout the Gemara, my time amar, why did he say that? In other words, that's analysis. Or, I'm sorry, my time amar hachi omar hachi. The amra my beinayu ike beinayu. What's the difference between the two positions? In other words, what you and I call nafkaminas. And the Gemara goes on to explain what the difference is. Again, that's analysis. That's understanding. So, kach v'kach v'aramhu. Sha'ashomeyas kolo shana mishnayasav kesavahu shabaki b'tameyem v'nagim bo kavod ketami dechachamim. Now, the Rosh Aram, because this person knows mishnayos and is really impressive. He's able to say over mishnayos. However, without proper understanding and analysis of the mishnayos, so he doesn't understand. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And as impressive as he is, very well, he could be totally incorrect in terms of his conclusions. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us now to the second destroyer of the world. So on the Mishnah, back on Chaf Amud Aleph, so we had our Chassid Shota. The Gemara gave one example of a Chassid Shota, of Mevale Olam, destroyers of the world, Rasha Arum, right? Over a half dozen examples of the Gemara that we just went through in terms of what are examples of Rasha Arum and Itmar. So we are now continuing. We're on Chav Beza Amud Aleph. Second line down. Itmar Kara Vishana Veloshim Mishtami Dechachamim. Once again, you know Chumash, you read Mishnayos. However, not properly servicing Tami Dechachamim, we just went through what exactly that means. So Rabbi Lazar Amar Areza Ama Aretz, you qualify now as an Ama Aretz. That's not a good qualification. In other words, you are an Ama Aretz, and therefore Rashi says, with the halachic status of an Ama Aretz, your chumas amaisos are not, well, your produce is not considered to be mufrash. In other words, when someone purchases produce from you, so they have to, they're going to have to take off chumas amaisos again. Meaning it's demai. All your produce is demai. And Rashim ben Nachmani Amar Ari Zabor. So the Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani says you are a boor. Now, quite frankly, I understand what the word means. And Rashi does say it's garua me'ama arts, but halachically, what status does that mean? Meaning is it, right, is it a label just for the sake of a label, or does with a boor come with it a halachic status? I asked the question, I don't know the answer. But clearly, according to Rashi, it's worse than an amaretz, but I say that, and I don't know what that means. Okay.
It's a pit, right? A boor?
Yeah, but not here. You're right, but not here. Over here, it's a description of somebody who is really, you and I may say uncultured, but it's much worse than that. Okay. Rabbi Yana Omer Harizakusi.
What does it mean to serve?
Meaning to learn by them. It just simply means to learn by them. So Rabbi Yana Omer Harizakusi, according to Rabbi Yana, you're a kusi. So, and kusi over here, meaning now Rashi says that the status of a kusi, you can't eat the bread of a kusi, can't drink the wine of a kusi. Okay, so in other words, Gemara has really, really harsh comments for those people who are, look, we're not talking about people who don't know. We're talking about people who know. They know Chumash, they know Mishnah, but they don't understand. Rav Acha by Yaakov Amar is a Magush. Rav Acha by Yaakov says you are a Magush. Now, Magush, Rashi throughout Shah says, a Magush is a magician. And so if you're a conjurer, okay. Now again, by the way, the word magician is coming from the word magush. So the and again, by the way, in other words, obviously it's not good. But unlike Amma Aretz, I'm going to make the same point I just made. But it's okay. Unlike Amma Aretz, that's a halachic status, and unlike Kusi, that's a halachic status. Meaning by calling this individual a magush, and therefore what? Meaning obviously, again, it's a pejorative. It's certainly a derogatory term, and it's not flattering. Okay, I understand all that, but halachically speaking, now what does that mean? Don't know. Anyway, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mistabra Kerav Achar by Yaakov. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak prefers this last pshat. Damer Ishi Rati Magushim Velo Yada My Amar Tenitana Velo Yada My Amar. Because consider the following. In other words, what does a magician do? So he has the stupidest phrases. I don't mean to be mean. In other words, I like a magic show like anybody else. But in other words, the phrases that he says, they're dumb. They're abracadabra. Although abracadabra actually, probably, right, etymologically, probably comes from us. But anyway, but notwithstanding, in other words, right, think Harry Potter in terms of just, silly phrases of magicians. In other words, they say things and it's all nonsense. It's silly. It doesn't mean anything. And similarly with our person we're describing over here, like he could say over Psukim, he could say over Mishnah, but he doesn't understand what he's saying. So the comparison to the magician, Rav Nachman Yitzchak feels, is the most apt comparison. Tan Rabbanan Ezu Amma Aretz, the Gemara now wants to know what is the definition of an Amma Aretz. Again, halachically, once you qualify as an Amma Aretz, so your produce is now demai. When someone purchases produce from you, he has to take off Shumas and Maisos. And let's also add, I failed to add this earlier, let's also add that anything he touches is tummy. So, when exactly are you at the level of an Amma Aretz? When is your status in Amma Aretz? So the Gemara gives a number of opinions. The Machlokas HaTanayim. Kol She'enakara Kriya Shema Shachar V'Arvitz B'Berchosa. Div Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, if you fail to say Shema both morning and evening, so you qualify as an Amma Aretz. V'Chacham Amarim Kol She'eno Meneach Tefillin. Fail to put on Tefillin. So that makes you an Amma Aretz. Benazai Omer Kol She'en Lo Tzitzis B'Bigdo. If you're not wearing tzitzis on your clothing, you are an Amma Aretz. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Yosef Amar. Fail to give your children an education, a Torah education. So Zehu Amma Aretz. Now, according to the opinion of Acherim, so Acherim, obviously, we already saw their position just moments earlier in today's daf. So you know Chumash, you know Mishnah, but you're not Mishamish Tamid Chachamim. You don't have a Rebbe, you don't have an understanding. So Karav Loshana Hare Zebor. If you know Chumash, but you don't know Mishnah, so you're even worse than that. You're an Amma Aretz plus. You're a boor. So lo kar v'lo shana, alav akasav omer. V'zarat yisbeis yisrael v'yisbeis yehuda zera adam v'zera behema. If you don't know Chumash, you know Mishnah, so basically the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Pasuk compares you basically to the intellect of an animal. Okay. Somebody who's not being mishamish tamid chachamim. The Gemara now quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. Yiras Hashem b'ni v'melech v'imshonim al tisarav. So the pasuk in Mishlei, which is authored by Shlomo HaMelech, and here in the context, what he's doing is he's advising, and his advice is as follows: don't mix up with the people who are shonim. Don't get involved with them. So Amr Rav Yitzchak Elo Shoshonim Halachas. Number one pshat in that pasuk in Mishlei. What does it mean? Don't get involved with the people that are shonim. In other words, what they're able to do is they're able to say over Mishnayos. The word halachos over here in this context means Mishnayos. In other words, again, same idea. They're parroting Mishnayos. They know how to say over Mishnayos, but they have no understanding of it whatsoever. And so when you have somebody like that, so Shlomo HaMelech says they don't know what they're talking about. Not the people to associate with. Pshita, the Gemara says, now that is obvious. So the Gemara says, I could have given another pshat, and that is somebody who is a repeat offender, does an avera multiple times. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Huna, This statement comes up multiple times throughout Shas, and that is that when, once you repeat an Avera, it becomes mutter. And the Gemara, not here, but everywhere else, says, what do you mean it becomes mutter? It doesn't become mutter. What it means is that attitudinally, it's as if now it's mutter. In other words, the first time you commit an Avera, it's shocking, right? In other words, you know you did something wrong. But then when you do it a second time, a third time, and once you become a repeat offender, it's as if it's no longer wrong anymore. It's ki'ilu, it's mutter. Yeah. So that's another pshat I could have said over in that pasuk in Mishlei. So Kamashmalan, the Gemara says, okay, but the first pshat is the preferred pshat. Meaning the shonim that Shlomo HaMelech is telling not to get involved with are the people that are able to repeat Mishnayos, but have no understanding of the Mishnayos. Tana. We are continuing. We're right in the middle. Achav Beis Amidalev. Ha Tanayim. Mevale Olam. So Tanayim. Now Tanayim over here, not the way you and I use the word Tanayim. Right? When we say a Tana, we're talking about the Tanayim. When the Gemara over here is quoting Tanaim, it means people who are repeating over Mishnayos and Braisos. So Tanaim Mevale Olam. So those people repeating Mishnayos and Braisos, so they're Mevale Olam, they're destroying the world. Now, in of itself, that's a harsh comment. Mevale Olam Sagadacha Merevina Morin Halacha Mitoch Mishnasan. Yeah. Mevale Olam, the destroyers of the world. Because what do they know? They know Mishnayos. But once again, with inadequate understanding of the Mishnayos. So now you know a Mishnah? Ah, that's the halacha. No. It's not the halacha. Meaning just because you know the Mishnah does not mean you know the halacha. Again, another fundamental Rashi over here. Morin halacha mitoch Mishnah san. Second Rashi I'm reading today. Rashi writes, Kama shemaval and olam baros taos. Dekeven den yodim tamei ha-mishnah pamim gormim shemadamim lo davar sheino doma. So number one, you know a Mishnah. This case that you're looking at right now is not exactly like the Mishnah, and you have to make a comparison. There's no way you can compare if you don't understand the Mishnah. Rashi goes on. How often throughout Shas do we say, oh, that Mishnah over there, that's a Das Yachid. Right? There are many who argue on that Mishnah. That's not the accepted halacha. Again, you can't paskin just because you know Mishnayos. On top of that, many times in the Mishnahs we find machlokis. You don't know which way the halacha goes if all you know is how to repeat over a Mishnah. Okay. So if you're passing halacha because you know Mishnayos, that is no good. And I said it gently, by the way. The Gemara said it stronger. Mevale Olam. Tanyanami Achi, the Gemara quotes a braisa supporting exactly this point. I'm Rav Yeshua. V'chi Mevale Olam Hein. V'alo Miyashi Olam Hein. Shenemar. Halichas Olam Lo. Elo Shemorin Halacha Mitok Mishnah San. Learning Mishnayos is fantastic. In fact, not just fantastic. In other words, miyashaya olam, settling the world. So learning Mishnayos is amazing. But then when you decide that now you know Mishnayos and you're ready to paskin halacha, mivale olam, you're destroying the world. Okay, Isha Prusha. Okay, we are now up to number three. Okay, today's daf in Chav Beis and Sota, 1, 2, 3, 4. So far this morning we covered 1 and 2. We're going back to the Mishnah in Chaf Amid Aleph, the end of that Mishnah, the tail end, it said that your Chasid Shota and your Rasha Arum and your Isha Prusha and your Makos Prushim, so that you are Mevale Olam, these people are destroying the world. So we already spent this morning going over who is the Chasid Shota, what's the Rasha Arum, so we did 1 and 2, so now we're up to 3 and 4. Okay, so number 3, an Isha Prusha. So Tana Rabbanan, if I have a young woman who is davening all the time, and I have a widow who is a shovavis, she is frequently by her neighbors. And you have a minor, so that is immature. So we'll get to that in just a moment. So the destroyers of the world. Now, obviously, over here you can raise an eyebrow. What? In other words, you have a young woman who's davening. She's included in the Mevale Olam. So the widow who is frequently by her neighbor's house and by your neighbor's, right? Let's say it out loud. In other words, she's by the neighbor's husband all the time. So that you understand. In other words, right? Most probably being involved in Neophin, that you understand. The cut we're going to explain momentarily, but the first example given over here is the young woman davening. She's Mevale Olam, destroying the world. That needs explanation. So the Gemara says over here, let's give wonderful examples of role models. We're going to start off with a young woman. So, and you'll see why I'm saying this in this context. She's beautiful. Beautiful young woman. And Yiras Chait Me Besula, De Rabbi Yochanan Shamalai Besula, De Nafla Apa Vekamra. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan overheard the davening of a young woman, a beautiful young woman. And she said the following, Ribbono Shel Olam, Barati Ganeden, Barati Gehenem, Barati Tzadikim, Barati Rishayim. Yiras Amal Fenecha Shel Ikashlu Bi B'nei Adam. So she's davening. Look, she says, I understand. In other words, I'm an attractive woman. I'm narrating a little bit in the Gemara over here, but right, I'm giving over here the correct pshat. Right? She's basically saying, I'm a beautiful woman, and I understand that a number of men could look at me and be tempted. And so you hear its own. Kadosh Baruch Hu, with help, with the Yirsiyata Dishmaya, lo yikashlu bi b'nei Adam. Nobody should stumble over me. In other words, no man should be overly attracted to me. Right, staring at me, gazing at me, meaning, right, obviously she'll do what she can in terms of, you know, being modest, but at the same time, however, right, men are men. And she understands that, and she davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that lo yikash to be, I shouldn't be a stumbling block. And obviously Rav Yochanan is saying that is high praise, meaning that's a good tefillah. That's a besula who's davening properly. And meanwhile, we just saw moments earlier that your besula who's davening is mevale olam. Once again, that needs explanation. We're gonna explain in just a moment. But before we do that, another exemplary role model. Kibos chami amana da yamana dave bekenisha b'shivavusa. There was a widow who was in the community called Yuma Hava Asiyat Samatzla be'midrash to Rav Yochanan. Now it happened to be that every day she'd be davening by the base measure of Rav Yochanan. Amar la bitila beis b'shiva v'sech. So Rav Yochanan says, you know, you pass a lot of shuls to get to my base measure in the morning. Like, why don't you just go to a closer shul? So Amar le, she says to him, Rabbi, v'lo schar p'sios geishli, I have schar halicha. Right? Every step I take to walk to shul, that's a mitzvah. And so good. So I want more mitzvah. So I have schar halicha. So good. So we now have just given two noteworthy examples of exemplary women. The Basula who was davening. The Amana who was walking to Shul. And now I go back and we're struggling. Because over here in the Braisa, a Basula Tzlainis and an Amana Shavavis, so that's no good. Now again, the Amana Shavavis, that doesn't bother us. Again, that's a woman who's frequently by her neighbor's house and with serious concern that she's with other men, married men. Okay, so that doesn't need an explanation. That's understood, right? That's a destroyer of the world. Destroyer of homes and destroyer of the world. That one's easy. But the Besula Tzlainis, the davening Besula, like what's so bad about her? So the Gemara says that you're right. That does need an explanation, Ki Kamar. So the Gemara says, yeah, as far as the Brice is concerned, so Kigon Yochni Basrativi. So we're talking about Yochni Basrativi. And the Gemara over here doesn't give us any more background information. And here comes another interesting Rashi. Oof, third Rashi of the day, which I'm going to read. Now Rashi over here gives us the background of who this Yochni ben Bas Ritivi is. Amana Machshefa Haisa. She was a widow and she was a sorcerer. She was a witch. And when she would go to people's houses, and she was also a midwife, she was a witch midwife. Okay. Some resume. And she would go over to women in order to help deliver the baby, but through her sorcery and witchcraft, what she would basically do is she would prevent the baby from coming out. And then she would say, you know what, you'll excuse me for just a moment, I'm going to daven. And with my davening, so you're going to have a successful delivery. Now, what she would do is that while she excused herself, she put away her sorcery. Obviously, Rashi over here subscribes to the viewpoint that the sorcery does work. She put it away, and now, boom, out comes the baby. But it had nothing to do with her tefillahs, and it had to do with the fact that she was a manipulator. She was manipulating the whole situation. Now, pam achas, hayelo schir yom bebesa vihalcha, lebesa isha yolez, vishama schir kolak shafim, mitkashashim bekli, kamosha avla mitkashkash bemeaim. And without explaining every word here in the next part of Rashi, basically she was smoked out. In other words, someone discovered that basically she was a fraud. Ubao pasach es megufas akliva akshafim yasuv avla nolad viyadu kibalas kshafim hi. and it was, and the issue was discovered that she didn't have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ear, but rather, in other words, she was holding back the baby because of her sorcery. Okay. Anyway, I have a great question, and boy, is there no great answer to this question. Where did Rashi get this story from? Meaning, the Gemara just simply says, I'm going to give you an example who's somebody who davens and is Mevali Olam, a destroyer of the world. Then the Gemara says, you know, Yochni Basra Tivi. Okay, good. Gemara says, okay. And you all know the story. And of course, none of us know the story because at the time of the writing of the Gemara, everyone knew the story. And then, since then, nobody knew the story. And then Rashi tells us the story. So Rashi, usually when he tells you something like this, he's getting it from a Medrash. Okay? Where exactly is the Medrash for this? So, good. I went down this rabbit hole. So, anyway, it's great. In the Masifta over here, he's got a Biuri Rashi section. And I assure you that it is a deep rabbit hole in terms of where Rashi got the story from. There are a couple places throughout Shas. It just happens to be that I really went down this rabbit hole. There are a couple places in Shas where Rashi does tell us a story, and there's no supporting medrash in terms of where Rashi gets the story from. Now, that doesn't mean Rashi conjured it. In other words, not for a moment do I even want to suggest that. In other words, but there are sources that Rashi had that we no longer have. Okay, let's just leave it at that, but whatever. It's a much more to discuss on that topic. Okay, where are we? I know. My cut and shalok halo chadashav. So, in the brisa that we saw, there are three people who are described as mevali olam, the young woman davening, but now add context that we just added. We're talking about the widow who's frequently by neighbor's houses. No context needed. Self-evident. And then number three was cut and shalok halo chadashav. What does that mean? So, hacha tekim ezet hamechacham hamevai berabasav. So, over here, meaning in Bavo. Right, obviously we're learning Bavli, so when they say here, they mean in Bavo. So we're describing a student who's not properly respecting his Rebbe. Now, literally, it means he's kicking his Rebbe, but it kind of goes without saying that if you're kicking your Rebbe, you know, I don't know, I'm not sure if you need a Brisa to tell you that that person's not good. So, in other words, but he's not showing the proper proper respect. And in other words, Kanjelo Kalu Chadashav, right? I slipped earlier. I gave it away earlier. I described him as being immature, but now you understand. That's exactly what it means in the context of the pshat that the Gemara just offered over here. He's immature. Rabbi Abba Amar Zatam Shlo Higel Ara Mora. Rabbi Abba gives a different interpretation, and that is that he's paskining immaturely. But immaturely over here means before he should be paskining. When should a person be paskining halacha? Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Avun Amar Av My Dichsiv Ki Rabbim Chalalim Hipila. Vatsumim kol harugeha. Pasuk and Mishle, and the Gemara Darshins, ki rabim chalalim, hipila zetamachachim, sholagi alahora omora. The word hipila, so we have in English almost the exact identical term, miscarriage, right? In other words, and sometimes we describe miscarriage biologically, and sometimes we describe it as like a miscarriage of justice. Okay. And now we know from today's daf, that's an old term. So somebody who's paskening and he should be paskening, so that's hipilo. Alternatively, by the way, the pasuk of Mishle, the second half of the pasuk of Mishle, someone who should be paskening, but he declines. I don't want to get involved. I don't want the responsibility. The Gemara using the pasuk of Mishle is just as critical of such an individual. The one, we're over here, two criticisms. The one who's paskening who shouldn't be, because he's not yet seasoned enough, and the one who is not paskening but should, but because he doesn't want the responsibility. Okay, so you have to be a seasoned Talmid Chacham in order to pasken. Okay, when are you seasoned? Turn Chav Beis Amud Beis. Ve'ad kama ard arba'in shnin. 40 years of learning. 40 years of learning, and now you're seasoned. Okay, now arba'in shnin could be understood as 40 years of age. So it could be, and I'm not rejecting such a suggestion. So Rashi, quite frankly, doesn't say. The Tosfos does, however, say, right? Tosfos over here, Perush Mishanish Yischalamod. Tosfos prefers what I said originally, which is 40 years of learning, meaning basically put a marker in when you started your learning path, your path in learning. 40 years later, now you're seasoned. That's significant That is dedication to becoming somebody who can paskin. Now, Iniva Rabba Orein. Now, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that we know Rabba was paskining, and why is that problematic? I'll tell you why it's problematic. He lived only till 40 years of age. He died at 40 years of age. Right? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. That gives us this information. And so now, if you have to be 40 years in learning, right? Rabba didn't start learning at the time that he was born, obviously. So over here, so what do you do with that piece of information? That Rabba was already paskining. That means he was paskining sometime in his 30s. So the Gemara says Bishavin. So the Gemara says, you're right. So we'll say like this. And I'm going to say over the Gemara like Rashi, which is typically what I do. And that is that if for the standard time of dedication necessary in order to paskin, it's going to be 40 years of learning. However, if you're in a community and right now there's nobody else, alternatively, you know just as much as the veteran, as the sage post-stake in the community, so then you have the right to paskin. That's the way Rashi understands Bishavin. You are equal to the gadol of the community. And I always wonder, and I'm sure it's not an easy thing to do, right? How do you gauge that you're equal with somebody else in terms of learning? Okay. Umakos Prushim. Okay, and finally, for the end of today's daf, number four now, the fourth person who's Mevale Olam, somebody who's destroying the world, and that is Makos Prushim. So what is Makos Prushim? So Tana Rabbanan Shiva Prushim Hain. So there are seven people. So even though they look like they're a parish, now parish is usually a complimentary term. Somebody who's an ascetic, somebody who is not luxuriating in this world, right? Usually we use it as a complimentary term, but over here, in this context, in the seven examples that we're about to give, not complimentary. And now I'm going to run through the seven because the Gemara is going to then, after listing the seven, explain all seven of them. So that's what we're going to do. Shiva Prushin Hain. They are Parash Shichmi, Parash Nakafi, Parash Kizai, Parash Meduchya, Parash Machavasi, Ve'asena, Parash Me'ava, Parash Me'ira. Okay, now all of them need an explanation. That's exactly what we're going to do. Parash Shichmi Ze'a Osa Maisa Shchem. So you behave like Shchem. And Rashi explains over here, Shchem got a bris milah because they wanted to make a commitment to Hashem. They wanted to go into the covenant. No. They did it for totally ulterior motives. See Parshas Vayishlach for more details. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Perush Nakafi Zamanakif is Raglav. Okay, when you're walking, you walk with this, right, really, really slow walk, dragging your feet on the ground as if you're some sort of ascetic, you're some really, really holy individual, and meanwhile, all you do is stub your toes, you gash your feet. In other words, because you want to give off this like holier than thou walk. Perish Kizai Amar Reb Nachman Yitzchak Zeh Amakis Dam L'Ketalim. You refuse to look where you're walking. You may see something you shouldn't see. Now again, our second time I'm going to mention today, Shmiras Einayim, protecting what our eyes see, making sure that we don't see things that we should see. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. On the other hand, we're now describing going overboard, right? I'm not looking where I'm walking. I'm going to bang into walls. Gemara says no good. Parash Machovasi Ve'asena Hamal Yusahi. Somebody asking. This is number three. Somebody asking. Hey, what am I supposed to do? Because I'll do it. The Gemara says that's bad. That's good. So the Gemara says Ela Da'amar Machovasi Tu Ve'asena. Gemara says now we're describing the person who says, you know, I'm doing it all. I got every mitzvah covered. I got every halacha covered. There's nothing more I need to do. That's bad. Parash me'ava, parash me'ira, amr le'abaye, amr le'abaye ve'rava le'tana, lo tisne. So Abaye and Rava both say to the Tana, right? Remember, the Tana, second time today we're talking, we're describing the Tana as someone who's repeating over the Mishnayos, in this case, Brisas. So Abaye and Rava, when they hear this section of the Brisa, immediately they go into edit mode. Take it out. It doesn't belong. So parsh me'ava parsh me'ira dam rav yehuda amar rav la'olam yasa god nabatar v'mitzvah zafilu shalolishma shemitoch shalolishma balishma. Meaning, if right now you are holy because ava yira, fear, love, meaning not because you want to create deep connection, but because you have ulterior motives, not a bad thing. In other words, mitoch shalolishma balishma. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the Gemara quotes it over here. The Gemara quotes it all the time. right? It's a common theme throughout the Gemara that, okay, in other words, if you're doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, that's a good start. It's a good start. Mitok shelo lishma, balishma. Okay. And then to finish off today's stuff, we're just going to get to the Mishnah. And then we'll stop. So, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzhak, Dimitro, Dimitro, Demigla, Migle, Beidin Rabba, Litpare Mihane, Dachvugunde. We're talking about people who are coming off as holier than thou, and meanwhile, they're not holier. Right? We just described them in detail. And Rav Nachman Yitzhak had the following statement, and that is the hidden is hidden, and the revealed is revealed. Which is just another way of saying, you and I don't know anything. In other words, Hashem knows everything, right? There, right? We don't know each other, right? We struggle even to know ourselves, but we don't know other people. And somebody may come off looking religious. He may not be. And somebody may look irreligious. He may be extraordinarily. We don't know. We simply don't know. Who knows? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. And please don't worry, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based in, is going to address everybody as they truly are. Yana Malka says to his wife, Yana Malka, king, let's just say, awful. Right? The Gemara, right? The, okay. Anyway, let's just leave it at that. Okay. The Gemara describes him, discusses him numerous times. And he says the following to his wife, I'll take your aim in a prushim velo, mimi shein a prushim. So the, don't worry about those who are religious. Don't worry about those who are not religious. So ella mitzvum shadom leprushim. So the people that you should be most concerned about is people who look religious but they're not. So the shemasim kamase zimri umevakshim schar kepinchas. They behave like Zimri, and meanwhile what they're expecting is schar like Pinchas. Okay, and it's a great expression. It really is. In other words, right? And the Zimri Pinchas. Right, equation. So obviously, Zimri, you know, okay, again, I'm not going to go through the whole story right now, but, all right, Zimri behaved in a terrible way. And in other words, and he justified his actions and he thought, okay, what I'm doing is a good thing. And for the individual who comes off looking extraordinarily religious, but meanwhile really behaves like Zimri and expecting the reward of Pinchas. Okay. He says those are the people that you should be most concerned with. All right, that kind of takes us to the end of today's daf. Let us quickly recap. Right, well, tomorrow we start with the Mishnah. Let's quickly recap. We really covered just one topic today, and that is the four people in the Mishnah who are Mevale Olam, those who destroy the world. And so Chassid Shota, so we gave one example. Rasha Arum, so we gave multiple examples. And Isha Prusha, right, your ascetic woman, your really religious woman who is destroying the world. Once again, we gave an example of what that is, and Makos Prushim, people who look extraordinarily religious, behave extraordinarily religious, but meanwhile they're not. And the Gemara also gave multiple examples for that as well.